Blog Talk Radio.
Tiffany Thompson is the founder and CEO of It's All About You Ministry International, located in Chicago, Illinois. She was born and raised on the west side of Chicago. Anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, she is gifted to reach people of various backgrounds and nationalities. She is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a strong prophetic call on her life. It's All About You Ministry was given to her by way of the Holy Spirit in January 2005 from out of her home. She has touched the lives of many, whether in local churches, street corners, or workplace. Her ultimate goal is to advance the kingdom of God. She is an entrepreneur, writer, poet, and motivational speaker, all for the kingdom of God. Tiffany Thompson has received a certificate from the Samuel School of Prophets under the instructor, Apostle Raphael Robinson, CEO, founder of Word Kingdom. And now, without further ado, here's Miss Tiffany Thompson.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
All right. Thanks for the applause. Amen. Welcome to It's All About You radio show. Amen. With Weston World One and Dennis Weston and Tiffany Thompson Live. I want to thank you all, and I thank you for that applause, Dennis. Every week I thank you. Amen. God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited about tonight's show. Wow. I'm excited. We have some special guests on tonight. Amen. That's going to show us how to do things the godly way, the right way, when it comes down to marriage and relationship. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful. So how was your week, Dennis? How you been doing?
It's going okay. Just making it. You know how it is when you got that Wednesday, that hump day, that day where you just trying to get by so you get to that weekend so you do what you need to do for the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My mind is going great. I just want to do a small recap from last week, which we know was Thanksgiving Eve. We did a short, brief, straight-to-the-point show. We wanted to do what we did, and that's to give thanks to God, first of all, for everything he's done and everything he's doing in our lives. We want to make sure, even going into our Thanksgiving, that he's first. He's the reason for the season. And then we went into prayer for families and communities and, you know, praying that God would bless. And we believe that all went well. We believe that anything we ask in his name, that it was done and it shall be given. And so, yes, we did that straight to the point. Did a 30-minute show last week, which was pretty good. Also, I believe was really powerful, as me and Dennis shared why we should be thankful and why we are thankful. So I'm grateful for that. I'm very grateful for that. And I thank God for you, Dennis, as well. I'm really excited about these two that's coming on tonight. Minister Charles Banks and Minister Bethany Banks, they're going to talk to us tonight in reference to marriage and how to keep your relationship hot, how to keep it on fire. And I'm excited. I'm ready to really get started. You have anything, Dennis?
I'm ready.
You ready? Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to do like we always do. We do not start this show without putting God first and starting out in prayer, because what we want the Holy Spirit to move. We want him to talk. We want him to speak through this couple, this powerful woman and man of God. We want God to use them like never before. So what we're going to do, we're going to start off in prayer, and we're going to go to a small commercial, and we're going to come back, and we're going to introduce them to the world. We're going to introduce them to the listeners, and I hope they're open and that they're ready, because I am. Amen. I am. So we're going to go ahead. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for another day, God, for this is the day that you have made, Father, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you for new mercies and new grace on today, God. Father, we ask, Father, on tonight, Father, as we lift this couple up to you, Father, we ask that you use them like never before, God. Father, bless them, Father. Anoint their lips, Father. Anoint their mouths, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. Father, give them strength like never before, God. Father, put wisdom, Father, in their mouth, Father, knowledge and understanding, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let the listeners, those that are listening, God, let them be blessed by them, Father. Let them be blessed by the wisdom, Father, the anointing and the power that's on their lives, Lord. Father, let it be able to help their households, help their relationships, Father. Father, help their marriages, and Father, those that seek to be married, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, use them like never before, God. Father, send your angels even now, God, your warring angels, Lord, and your ministering angels, Father, to war on our behalf, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. We come against principalities, Father, powers, Father, wickedness, Father, rulers of darkness, Father, in high places, Father. We counsel every assignment now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that the works of the devil are destroyed, and we decree and declare that the power of God, the anointing of God, and the love of God shall go forth, Father, this night, this day, this evening, Father, for this show, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. This is something you had already done before the foundation of the world, and so, God, we walk in it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We walk in holy boldness, Father, for what you're doing and what you're about to do, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, God, we thank you, God. We thank you that it's already done, and it is so. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Western World One Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldOne.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorldOne.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorldOne.com. Please visit the website www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. To be placed in a magazine, get an ad, newsletter, or article. Publisher Tiffany Thompson also has a ministry. Visit that site at www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.org. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.org for more information on events or speaking engagements.
Amen. We're back.
Amen. Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Do we have Bethany Banks, Minister Bethany Banks, and Minister Charles Banks on?
Amen, amen. How you doing tonight?
Amen. Blessed just like you all. Amen.
Amen.
We want to thank you all, first of all, for accepting the invitation to be a part of a blessing the people of God, blessing the listeners, you know, sharing your testimony, allowing your life to be an open book. We just want to thank you all for that.
Amen. We thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. And, we just appreciate that, God is, giving you to talk to us and allow us to, share, with the world and, what God has blessed us with. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You want to say anything, Minister Bethany?
Just the same. We thank God for the opportunity just to be transparent. And most of all, our goal is always just to share how in marriage our relationship is to reflect the relationship of Christ and his bride, the church. So we enjoy doing this. We enjoy marriages. We enjoy encouraging you know, couples to love and to most of all reflect what Christ would want us to reflect in our relationships.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go a little further. Dennis, do you have anything before we go further in the word of the Lord?
Oh, no, no. As we go along, I probably have questions as we go in. But I'm ready. I'm prepared. Let's go. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Well, they picked a great topic, you know, and how to keep your marriage hot. And that I think that was a pretty good one because when getting married, when joining together with that person, you're all excited and happy in the beginning. And when trials and tribulations begin to come, things begin to, you know, start waxing cold. And sometimes we don't know how to rekindle that. And so I thank God for that topic. I thank God for them choosing this topic. But what I want to do, I want them to go right ahead. They gave us a scripture, which is Matthew chapter 19, 5 and 6. And if they would, whichever one would decide to go ahead and go forth in that, feel free.
Okay, amen. Matthew 19:4-6, and I'm reading from the Message version of the Bible. It says, he answered, haven't you read in your Bible that the Creator originally made man and woman for each other, male and female? And because of this, a man leaves father and mother and is firmly bonded to his wife, becoming one flesh. No longer two bodies, but one. Because God created this organic union of the two sexes, no one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart. And as we dive into this, just going back to what you were talking about, and I'm going to ask my wife, she can jump in at any time. Initially, the topic for tonight is making, you know, marriage hot. Me and my wife have been doing marriage ministry for about how long now? About 3 or 4 years now at our church, Agape Ministries, where our pastor is Bruce Hardy. And we would have these conferences every year. And I think the first one, when we started doing this, that's when God gave us that whole concept of, you know, making marriage hot. And what brought that about for me was, you know, we can look at the world and see how they're kind of, in so many words, making a game of marriage, you know, especially in Hollywood. You marry 1 minute, 4 months later, you know, it's all blown up and giving this world a crazy picture of what marriage is. But if we stand on God's word, you know, he shows us what marriage is supposed to be about. And that's when God gave us to display to the world through the church that, hey, marriage can be hot when done right. And we look at this scripture, Matthew 19:14, I love the part where he says, a man leaves his father and mother and firmly bonds to his wife. No longer two bodies, but one. Working as one, when you think about that, it's about working together. That's one thing about marriage. It has to be a concept that you're committed to working together in every aspect that you're going to go through. Amen. And you
want to
add anything into that?
And I want to say to that, you know, in that text, as we were studying and looking at some things, and it says, you know, when a man leaves his parents and are joined to his wife, or another version says cleave to his wife, when joined means to be glued to. So you look at this as the most important relationship in society. It's not between a parent and child. It's not between a sister and brother, but it's between a husband and wife. This is the first relationship that God created, and the two become one. Parent and child don't become one. You know, sister and brother don't become one. This is the only relationship that God created and ordained for two people to become one flesh. And it's through a vow and through a contract of marriage. So it's not just anything that can be done, but you have to go before God in holy matrimony and take a vow and a contract even to be together and reflect in Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How long right now, to this day, how long has it been since you all joined together?
We have been married this past August. It has been 10 years. 10
Amen.
Years this past August. Yep.
Amen.
10 years and going strong, going strong.
Amen. I know that's right. Amen. Okay, I heard you say you all been doing the marriage doing the ministry at the church, and you all also have your own occupations. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
You're employed elsewhere, and you have so you have your jobs, and then you have the ministry, and then you have each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we know ministry carries a lot of weight. We know sometimes our jobs expect a lot out of us. And how do you do everything? How do you keep it going? How do you keep that together?
I think it's about prioritizing, you know what I mean? And, again, like the scripture said, it's like we have to be committed to the process and we're working as one, you know. And so, you know, it's about prioritizing your time and, you know, just making that time for each other. You know, sometimes, you know, it's life. Life can't get away from you sometimes. But it's knowing how to reel everything back in and say, hey, you know, it's been a couple of weeks. We need to go hang out somewhere. And recognizing, you know, well, something has not been happening for too long, or, you know, y'all see y'all kind of drifting apart, you know, getting kind of busy with life challenges and stuff like that. And it's just about recognizing that and then pulling it back in. You want to add something to that?
I was about to say something. I lost my train of thought. But God always shows you, you know, what your spouse needs. And, you know, in any relationship, you can feel when things are lacking. Both of us work full-time job. Both of us do things very heavy in ministry. But what I was going to say, and the most important thing, is this is our first ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is, you know, the head of both of our lives, and we love him so much, and we're so accountable to him first. I love God more than I love my husband. And I know my husband loves God more than he loves me. So we're accountable to God first in how we treat each other. And then he gives us this ministry, not just to give out to others, but to minister to one another, to keep each other covered. So everything starts at home. If you can't minister at home and be good in this marriage ministry in your household, how could you be good at leading any other ministry outside of your home?
Mm-hmm.
Amen to that. Yeah, that was a mouthful right there. Amen to that.
Yeah.
All right. That was powerful, and I believe that, you know, I take that as being truth, because a lot of times, you know, you look up and you see this and that on television, and you see these ministers and these pastors and high places, you know, and you hear about them going through divorces and, you know, and breaking out in fights and all of this. And the world seems to get shocked, you know,
right,
at what they see that's supposed to be the church. You know, and what they see and what's supposed to be the church, which is especially marriage, and especially when it's leaders. They really,
yeah,
really point fingers, even, you know, they don't point the finger at themselves. They point the finger at the church. Because they already stay thinking in their mind that, hey, I know that what I'm doing is wrong, or how I'm treating them is wrong. And I sometimes think they still feel that that's okay because they're not in church, but they don't know they're still going to be held accountable for it. But at the same time, they, you know, love to point the finger at the church And I know this question is probably not one that was in there, but I just want to flow with the Holy Spirit. What do you think? And it's not a judgmental question. It's just an opinion or something that will help someone that's listening. What do you think the problem is when it comes down to marriages, especially in the body of Christ, that are not working?
I think, and you just personally, you basically went right into something that we wrote down to talk about. I think that we become too familiar with one another, and we really don't pay attention to our marriages reflecting Christ's relationship with his bride, the church. It's in our Bible, Ephesians 5, 21-33. If you allow us to go into that, is that okay?
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Because we become so common with each other and we forget what we're supposed to be doing. But Ephesians 5, 21-33 says, and I want to read the Message version, and I love this version because it's so down to earth, you know, it's just point blank, period, blunt. It says, out of respect of Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husband in ways that show your respect for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they already are one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are a part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church, and this provides a good picture on how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. So reading, you know, this is the meat of it, of this text. It says so much of how our relationships are supposed to reflect how Christ treats the church, his bride. We're husband and wife, that he's the bride and the bridegroom, and sometimes we lack all the things that it's talking about. We lack love. We lack respect. Some men want to lead, but you have the women that try to take over and lead the relationship. Some of us are just harsh and beat our mates down. And we talk about them and dog them, and this says you're a two. You wouldn't talk about yourself, you know, like that. So why would you talk about your mate in such a demeaning way? So I truly think it's about reflecting that Christ relationship. Even as believers, we forget that we're supposed to reflect that relationship.
Amen. Looking at that text again, it's like what's coming to me is like as believers, we're growing in a Christ mindset. And growing in that Christ mindset should direct how we talk and communicate to each other, because sometimes the problem can be communication or lack thereof, or what I call this common zone that can be kind of dangerous when you don't give that person maybe the respect or the love that you gave when you first met. Because when we first meet, there's a thing that we put on that I call the mask, where you nice, you sweet, you eat with the fork and spoon, you eat, you know. But sometimes you have to be careful because you get too common, and then that nice, sweet smile turns into an attitude, or that time when you would have went and stopped and got those roses, now you're just like, should be okay. You have to be careful, and you have to notice those things and, you know, be able to, because, again, sometimes life happens, but be able to understand how to pull back and get back into that zone. Sometimes we don't know how to get back into that zone. But as we grow and we reflect who Christ is, you know, he says, out of respect for Christ, be courteous and reverent to one another. You know, like my wife said before, it's like we both love God with all of our heart. And sometimes I say, some people, I don't see how people can study the word and read God's word, but at the same time can sometimes be so mean, because the core of God's word is love. So especially in marriage, you know, as we grow in Christ, you know, not to say things don't happen, but with God's word, it's able to restore us, you know, to that place of love again.
Man, I'm just sucking it all in, because you said something that was so profound. Because I think maybe sometimes we get into relationships or marriages too soon, especially if both parties are lacking love. Because you said something so profound when you said, when she read that scripture, which was, we're the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
God is, we're his body. He's the head. How would he treat his body?
Yeah.
That was powerful to me. How would he treat his body? How would he treat his arm, his leg, his hands, his feet? And you said in that scripture, you're to be one.
Mm-hmm.
So no, if there's no longer two, then there's one. So you are him and he is you. So how would you treat him? So how you're treating him is really how you're treating yourself.
Amen.
Or
Amen.
How he treats her is really how he's treating himself. It's really what the person, a reflection of what the person really feels about themselves.
Amen.
That's the revelation I got listening to you.
Mm.
That was powerful.
Yeah.
Amen.
That was powerful, and it was actually like a wake-up call.
And
know,
that's one
because,
thing. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that scripture. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mhm. And that's one thing I don't like to tolerate is when I hear a woman sitting around with other women just tearing their mate down. Because one, you married them and you're one, so you're talking about yourself, you know, and it's just, you know, think about, how does God handle us? He handles us with tender mercies and loving kindness.
And with patience.
And we become so common with one another, we don't want to handle each other with tender mercies and loving kindness. We may fix a plate and we just sit it down and say, here, that's not with loving kindness, just because you fix the food, but it's the way you serve it, the way you serve your husband or the way you serve your wife. You know, God don't just give us blessings and say, there you go, I provided for you today, and in a complaining manner, you know. So the things that we do, our acts towards one another, they're all so important. You know, this is 101, keeping your marriage hot. It ain't about sex. It ain't about, you know, just going out and having fun all the time. It's about the basis, and it's Jesus Christ, because a lot of people get married and they have sex and they have so many problems because they don't communicate. They don't get to the root of the issues, and they just cover things with sex, and you're having kids. And a family is not whole and restored. There's no leadership. There's no love. There's no respect. There's no honor. It's just a sexual relationship between two people that got married and are supposed to be one, but they could be living like roommates, or, you know, living like single people.
Wow. Wow. That's so true. That is so true. I have a question for you guys, and I may be digging a little deep, but I think it's going to help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, has your marriage ever went cold? And if so, how did you all rekindle it?
We had moments where our marriage was gone cold, you know, where the communication wasn't there, you know, and again, that's why I kind of came up with that common zone, you know. It's like you don't treat her like you treat her when you first met. Sometimes you can kind of get in that zone where the communication is just, you know, not there. And I think we had a situation where we weren't talking for I think it was a couple of days or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, again, and I want to express this really good, because again, sometimes life comes in and life happens. You know, I don't want to give the facade that there's never any issues, but I think the important thing is always resolve through God's word and through His Spirit, allowing His Spirit to lead you and guide you. Again, you know, that scripture is talking about out of respect for Christ and, you know, being Christ-like and being reverent to one another. It's like that time that passed and, you know, we wasn't talking, and I think it all came to a head. My wife kind of remembers better than I do. It kind of all came to a head Sunday morning while we were preparing for church, you know, and I think I'll let her take it because she tells the story better than I do.
it all came to a head. You know, we were getting ready for church, and you know, us as believers, we can put on some masks, and we can, you know, we can get over some things. And you know, when he's at church, he's Minister Banks, and being real. When I'm upset, you know, when I'm in the car, he's Charlie. So when we get to that church, it's Minister Banks, and it smiles on our faces. You know, we could use, as human beings, we do that. But this particular morning, I think we had things that even, you know, things that we had to do at church, teaching Christian education class, and he's a minister of music as well, so, and both of us do praise and worship. So we had things that we had to do there at church for others, but on this particular morning, the most important thing was our marriage. And so that's when I say this ministry comes first, and we had to sit down on that morning and call our pastor and say, we going to be late or we may not be there, because, you know, God has really dealt with us. Okay, you have to deal with this, and this is that communication. You always have to have a resolve. You can't just walk around and sweep it under the rug like, you know, the elephant is not in the room. He was hurt. I was hurt. Both of our hurts turned into anger. And because we weren't talking, I think I probably said, are you talking to somebody else? Because you allow, when you do that and you disconnect from your spouse, you open the window for the enemy to come in and start planting seeds in your mind. Like, what is he doing? They talking to somebody. He ain't talking to me, you know. So on this particular morning, we had to sit down and reevaluate, you know, what was going on, the miscommunication, the lack of communication. And sometimes as women, when or just human beings in general, when people say things to us, Charles can say, I don't want mashed potatoes tonight. And if we're already in our zone or in our attitude, you know, when it gets to our ears, it may come out as, I don't appreciate you, I don't want you cooking nothing for me. Sometimes we can translate things differently in our ears than what's actually being said. And I was just using that for an example, because by the time we get it, we're angry, we're more mad, and it's really not about what we thought, but it's something totally different. So we had to go back and just really communicate, and I had to say, and he had to say, okay, when you say this, you're saying that. And I had said, no, that's not what I mean. So sometimes we say things and we leave it in the air like the person is a mind reader to guess exactly what we mean or what our intentions are. And so we had to sit down and reevaluate some things that were said, our lack of communication, and then not communicating at all, and you know, putting church and other stuff before dealing with each other. So on this morning, no keyboard or anything was more important, or singing trying to lead someone into worship, and I'm standing up here mad and angry, or putting on a fake face was more important than our marriage. And sometimes we have to say that with church. It's okay. We can stay at home today because we got to work this out. God still loves us the same. We are still his servants. And sometimes we put other things before our personal issues and wear that mask, and then we purposely choose not to talk about it because we just went on like it's not there. But this morning we had to address the issues because things were cold, and you know, reflect back on why we're together, and you know, why God placed us together.
Again, it was, and then what it was is kind of the core of what we're talking about today. It was miscommunication, and then miscommunication turned into no communication. So now here we are in this zone, and then when you have miscommunication and then no communication, I think about that the scripture that talks about an idle mind is the devil's workshop, and it's like once that happened, the devil is like, okay, yeah, let's make this even worse, you know. And so, you know, that Sunday morning, again, everything came to the head. And, you know, it came to the point where, okay, we're just going to sit down, talk about this, and hash this out, get everything straightened out. And, again, once we started, you know, revisiting what the issue was and communicating and making clear what was what, you know, we had to go from that cold moment. And I always say, you know, even sometimes if you do get into a cold moment, because you're committed, again, we talked about earlier that vow that we made before God, when you're committed to this process of marriage, and one thing you have to, I always advise people to do, sometimes you got to remember what made you fall in love in the first place. You know, just because you're having an issue, you know, that shouldn't break up everything that you two have been building and working on. You know, it's just an issue. You know, issues are made to be worked out. And so, yeah, we had that cold moment, and then understanding how to get through that process. You know, I think in marriage, you have to build a process that works for you and your spouse. Because what happens is, like, every relationship is different, I always say. And so you got to understand how to communicate to each other. There's this great book called The Five Love Languages, and it talks about different ways you and your spouse communicate. You know, what's your love language for your spouse? Could it be words of affirmation, gifts, you know, things of that nature? And we had to, you know, learn and build on that process on how to resolve when things go cold. You got to have a plan on a route to get back, and we had to build on our communication at that time.
Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time where the other party is stubborn, where one wants to communicate and the other one won't?
Yeah.
Because the more I'm listening to you, it's basically letting us know the center of a relationship is communication.
Yeah, definitely communication.
Basically, if there's no communication, there's basically nothing. And just thinking about our relationship with Christ, we commune with him, we talk to him, we pray with him, pray to him, he talks to us. And that's what keeps us tight. That's what keeps us locked. That's how we know, you know, that when we've been with Christ. And that's the same. Has there been a time where no one wants to talk? I don't want to talk.
Yeah. And think about just tying on what you said. Think about how, like you said, you commune with Christ. And then think about some times where you kind of slow up in your communication with Christ. You know, you slow up on your daily prayers, or you slow up with your communication. How do you feel? You know, and then going to what you're talking about, it's like if somebody, you know, we're communicating, all of a sudden we're allowing these days to go by, we're not talking, maybe somebody's being stubborn. But again, we talked about Christ's love and his patience with us. You know, somebody has to be patient. You know, when you allow that communication to break down, that gives room for the enemy to come in and just really mess up some stuff if you allow him to. And I think understanding, one phrase that my pastor always says, understand that a woman wants to be loved and a man wants to be respected. And I think, you know, and I always say, you know, it's our job for spouses to take care of each other. It's my wife's job to take care of me. It's my job to take care of my wife. And so when it is that time of stubbornness, whether it be for me or her, we kind of, I don't know, like I said, we've been married for 10 years, and we kind of know, you know, like if it's me, matter of fact, it may happen the other day, matter of fact, it's me being stubborn, don't want to talk, you know, I'm going upstairs, sitting on my keyboard, she may just come up there, you know, and just sit on my lap and start talking to me, or vice versa. I'd be like, hey, you cool? You know, we'll just break it down, you know, or I may come in with flowers or something like that, you know, my bag or perfume, something I know she likes. Again, because we love God, when those things happen, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that unctions us to get everything back in order.
Yeah, you have to have a resolve.
Amen. And, you know, I just kept running through my little mind was, when you just confess what, you know, what happened and then how you all reconcile. But I was just thinking to myself, like, what had to be running through his mind was, hold on, I'm doing this to myself. I'm not doing this to her. I'm not being stubborn to her. I'm doing this to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm going to ride this revelation out, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
you know I'm going to ride that revelation out.
You do it to yourself because it's like when we're not, if we're in a place where we're not talking and we try to go to bed and not talking, no one sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
So you're keeping yourself up at night, you know, wearing mm-hmm. yourself. You're in a situation where your mind can't focus because this is, you know, someone you love. But like you said, you're doing this to yourself. You don't have to beat yourself up like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because you're one.
Yeah.
You're one. This is me I'm doing this to. You know, and I think that's just awesome. I also want the callers to know and those that are still tuning in that we are talking about marriage, we're talking about relationship and how to keep the marriage hot, H-O-T-T, exclamation points behind it. It's been great, it's been good. We're talking about how to keep the marriage hot, and I also want the callers to know, feel free to press 1. I know we've been talking, I've been asking questions, and they've been answering, they've really been ministering, but feel free, because we don't have that tonight. We're not going to do 2 hours tonight. So feel free to press that 1 button and get your question in, whatever it may be. It's a matter of life or death. This is your household. This is your family. This is your soulmate. And forget the shame. If you need help, you need help. But if you're already being
Amen.
Helped, then to God be the glory. Amen. I just want
Amen.
To share that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And one thing that was on my mind, I shared this with my husband and someone else we were talking to. One of the mistakes I think people make in marriage sometimes, and I always say, don't get married while planning to divorce. It's like you get married, but you have a backup plan for divorce. If this don't, I'm saving money over here, so if this happens, or I know I can always go stay at my mama's house or my sister's or you know, somebody crib if this happens. You're getting married while you're planning a divorce. You're always focusing on your exit route, and you can't truly love someone and be committed to the process. And it's not fair to your mate if you have a divorce plan and this person is truly trying to love you in a marriage.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So you already spoke death over something that's supposed to bring life.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's so important. And I advocate when two people have decided to get married. One, it's a great thing, you know. That's what God ordained is marriage, but to start it right and to go through the process right from the beginning with marriage counseling, understanding, hey, this is what we're trying to get into, you know, what marriage consists of. I remember when we went to marriage counseling, I appreciate my uncle, who was my wife's pastor at the time, you know, he asked those questions, you know, hey, is there anybody definitely should be worried about by coming to Chicago? I'm like, no, you know, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Is anybody I need to be worried about? You know, he asked those questions, understanding, you know, what our plans were and what our concept of marriage is, because sometimes we can get married, we're in love with the concept of marriage, but don't want to do the work of marriage. You understand what I'm saying? And we got to understand not to just be in, you know, in love with the concept, but it's a process and it's a work. You know, like you said, you're two becoming one. You know, and you represent God. And don't be in love with just the concept. It's a work and it's a process.
Both parties have to do their work.
Yes.
There's a humbleness that comes with being married. You know, just in terms of, again, I want to be as real as possible, because, you know, the Bible talks about that everything, there's a season, and, you know, there's good times and there's bad times, but understanding how to get back to those good times and how to resolve and get to those good times. I was listening to the radio, to the author that did the book of the five love languages, and he was talking about how love is an ongoing work, and I'm paraphrasing. And, you know, we're in love with in those first months that we get married because it's fresh and it's new. But, you know, once that freshness wears off, there's a work that has to be done to maintain and keep that love going and keep it fresh.
Wow.
Not to say that you're not going to have some bad days, but to understand how to get through those processes, because, again, you're in this as a partnership. You know, and understanding how to get back to those good days.
Amen. That's good. Amen. That's good. Dennis, you still with us? this is some good stuff here. This is some good stuff. My last question before we go: what advice would you give someone who's really going through their marriage and their relationship and the communication process, and the humility and everything that you all just named that will come against a relationship? What advice would you give this person that's married or looking to be married in reference to this? Who's actually going through, they're having hard times now, and some of them are already married and some may not even be married yet.
For the ones that are married that are going through, I think, one, you know, we have to keep God first and foremost. I think, again, communication is going to be so important. Humility is going to be so important. Sometimes you just got to stop everything that's going on, because sometimes we can get caught up in work and other things in life, and we can use that as a crutch to not tend to our marriage. And I think sometimes you got to just stop everything. Like, we had to stop everything that Sunday morning, you know, again, because we're committed to this process and we're committed to God and what His Word says. We got to be obedient to His Word. And, again, His Word says that we got to be courteous and reverent to one another. You know, so sometimes everything needs to stop. Let's see where this train got off the track, and let's talk about what we got to do to get it back on the track, and then be committed to what we say we're going to do in getting it back on track.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, any listeners got any questions?
I'm really not prepared.
I think we have 10 minutes left with this awesome couple.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah, I got two callers on the line. I didn't know if my mic was
okay. Let them know they have 2 minutes apiece, okay? Because we don't want to.
So we got one. We got one right now. We got Denise Cousins on the line. How you doing, Denise?
Okay.
Hey, Denise.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, bless
hello,
you.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I just want to just thank you all for sharing and stuff like that. This is amazing, and I'm taking down notes and stuff. I just want to be transparent. I've been with my husband since I was 15, and I'm now 34, and I've been married for 16 years. And
awesome.
God is good, and I heard the subject my sister was saying. She said, how do you keep the fire, keep it hot between your husband and between a husband and wife? And I just want to share something that God just taught me in my marriage, as being my husband literally saw me grow up from a teenager, a young woman, to a full woman. And we've been through each other when we was you know, children and to grown adults. So what I learned from God in marriage on how to keep the marriage strong, and I believe you said hot, one thing I learned in the 16 years I've been married is to love God more than your spouse.
Yeah.
And
from loving God more than your spouse, what you're going to do is you're going to do everything, even if you argue, even if you have a disagreement, that affects intimacy sometimes. But when you do everything unto the Lord, although he feels like he doesn't want to talk anymore, as I obey God and as I hear from God and as I listen to God, and if you say, okay, he's angry right now, just fix him a plate. So, you know, cater to him. You know, love him. And then at the end of the day, when it's time for us to be together, we can still keep it hot. You understand what I'm saying? And then after all of that repentance comes, because intimacy and making love, as I can be transparent right now, that's a form of warfare against the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted
Amen.
Us to shut up. He wanted us to not. And sometimes a man is stressed. And that form of influence that a woman has used righteously is a form of warfare against the enemy. The second thing I learned about just keeping a hot between a marriage is either party shouldn't have no more options. We are the only people that is in this marriage. There should be no, if I get angry, I talk to her. If he get angry, he talk, you know, if I get angry, I talk to him. And if he gets angry, he talk to her, because that would tear down the fire in your marriage, because your heart begins to detour. It begins to become carnal, and it's getting stripped of the sensitivity towards one another, because it's getting towards another way. So this is what I've learned in my marriage, just to keep the fire, is just really do everything unto the Lord, and then even when regular things come up, an argument, somebody's mad, somebody feels like they're not being heard, or whatever the case may be, I just understand that, you know, it's two people come together that has been raised totally different. He might not have talked with his parents, or people may not have talked to him. He might not have learned how to communicate, or I feel a certain way because I've been raised a certain way. But then when I come right back to the Bible, it's going to guide us and lead us and tear down those walls the enemy may try to build up. And we can automatically step into the Spirit and still keep that fire.
Amen.
That's what I've learned. And I'm taking notes from y'all, too. I love y'all.
Amen.
Me too. And I wanted to agree with you. Like the accountability, you know, sometimes, well, I say all the time, we are, I think we said this earlier, accountable to God first, of how I treat the man of God. And he knows he's accountable to God first on how he treats me. And we love God, you know, way more than we love each other. And it's something we always talk about at our churches, our vertical and horizontal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that up and down relationship with me and God. My relationship with God affects my horizontal relationship on how I can treat, whether it's anybody, whether it's my husband, whether it's my friend girls, or anybody. So we always got to love God and be accountable to him first. But we also, I've learned to, if I have any counsel It's only godly counsel.
Yeah,
I don't talk to my mother about my husband. I don't talk to my friends about my husband. Because when you tell people things that are going on in your marriage, they don't see the good anymore. So they set up this, like you said, this wall of judgment. So now when you decide to stay in something and you done told them one thing that was a challenge, they're wondering or judging why. But it's the Spirit will always give you who to go to for godly counsel or who you can share with. And in the same way with my husband, who another godly man that holds him accountable for the things that he do, and the same with me. Someone that holds me accountable and say, girl, you know that was wrong. You shouldn't have addressed him like that. Or, you know, if you are in your feelings, don't talk to Charlie like that or the same with him. And we have friends that, you know, we could do the same way. We can be transparent. We can be each other. But it's always godly counsel. And I agree with you. You don't put people in your marriage. The marriage is between the two of you. So these 10 years, 11 years, my mother has never heard a complaint of my husband. She has never known of any challenge that me and my husband may have had because, it's one, it's not her business, and two, it's our marriage. And I love you, Mommy, if you're listening. But she knows, you know. But I saw an example of a good marriage in our household growing up, and my husband was the same with his father. So that accountability is something else.
And three, I ain't never done nothing. But it's like I love my wife. And again, as we said earlier, I respect God so much. You know what I mean? It's like that's what allows me to honor my wife. You know, I can sit here and say 10 years of marriage, never stepped out on my wife, never cheated on my wife, and I'm proud of that. So I will, you know, stand up and boast and say that. You know, that's something I should be able to boast and say. You know, and I love God so much. And I make sure I take care of my wife. And I like what the caller talked about. Accountability is so important. I know our time is running, but it is important to have a team around you of other married couples that are God conscious and are standing on God's word. Because as you know, as a woman, you may need that time to go talk to your friend in the Lord. You know, to get godly counsel. I may have to go talk to my homeboy in Christ to say, you know, to get some wisdom so we can come back and they'll, you know, help us resolve some issues. I think it's good to have that support.
Amen.
Amen.
I got one more person, too, that want to come on in. Ms. B. Ms. B, she's online. How are you, Ms. B?
I'm doing good. How you all doing?
We're good.
Amen. We're doing all right.
I have a question. I don't know if it was asked. Before you all got married, have you all had a disagreement? And if you all did have a disagreement before you got married, how did you all resolve that?
If we had a disagreement before we got married, I'm trying to think.
I can't remember any. If it was probably something small, and it was, you know, we always had to compromise. And before we got married, we actually lived long distance. So I was in Mississippi still, and he was here in Chicago. So that was a challenge. But
yeah, I could think, like, you know, of any disagreements.
And we may have disagreements now, but, you know, we just agree to disagree with each other and you know, learn how to compromise and depend on what it is and always know that, you know, there's no right person in a marriage. No one wins, you know. It's like both of us have our own opinions about things, and that's just what it is. It's never trying to make you come over to my side or make you see things exactly how I see it or exactly how he sees it. You know, we're free to have our own opinions and found our own.